Welcome to the Fandom Podcast, the show that is not about comics, not about movies, and not even about Doctor Who, Supernatural, or Firefly. We are a show about all of that and much more. I am Brandon Uscio, and it seems that tonight I am the sole survivor of Captain Trips, or Halloween, one of the two. So tonight, rather than trying to lead on an entire discussion by myself, I thought I'd just give you an extra large dose of the top news. So for being such a slow news week, I actually have a good list of stories here. And then also don't forget, today is the day that we are going to announce the winner of our fun, comfortable ticket giveaway. And so that will be coming up a little later in the show. All right, our first news story is Stephen Moffat had an interview this week with Variety. They asked him why Doctor Who was so popular. And one of the reasons that he gave is because he does not develop Doctor Who just for one certain niche or one audience of people. His exact quote is, "We make and develop Doctor Who to be enjoyed at any level. That's the truth. We're actively thinking, what would a 5-year-old think of this? In terms of audience, it's the entire human race, if possible. But it's kind of identified by me and Jamie as a children's show. What that means is that you can start watching it as a child." So Stephen Moffat is trying to put together this show that will appeal to both adults and both children. It's almost like it's the exact opposite of a lot of the comedies that have been coming out for the children, where the kids can go and they can enjoy it, but the parents get a little bit deeper level. It's geared and designed for the adults, but they also want to make it so that a 5-year-old can get into it. In this article, he talks about how Netflix is changing the way that people watch all TV and not just Doctor Who. He makes a joke about how even his kids, they don't understand TV schedules and they don't watch Doctor Who on schedule, even though their dad makes it. So he says that they look at that as well. And then he goes on to call Doctor Who a television predator. He says it's designed to survive any environment because you can replace absolutely everybody. Most of the shows you can't do that with. So like when Benedict Cumberbatch gives up Sherlock, there's no way that you can replace Sherlock. They've delayed that show quite a bit. But with Doctor Who, if you have issues with the Doctor or a companion, it's really easy to replace them. So Stephen Moffat goes on to say, most shows have a built-in mortality, but here's a show that sheds us all like scales and a show that can make you feel like everything except indispensable. It will carry on forever because you can replace every part of it. He goes on to talk about some of the replacements. Clara is obviously being replaced. We've talked about that a few weeks ago. He goes on to promise us that Peter Capaldi is going nowhere. And I'm sure glad of that. It's sure changing this tone. It's really giving it a much more entertaining show, much more family-oriented, something that kids can watch, because there's not the romantic tension between the cute, love-struck companion and the quirky but attractive doctor. I am excited about all these changes. Stephen Moffat has some weird tendencies to do things in shows, but so far, especially in this current season, I'm pretty happy about what they're doing. I love seeing the Doctor pull out his electric guitar and play that, and I love a lot of the twists. Some of the twists I could do without, but let's just say how they replaced the sonic screwdriver in this season so far. I sure hope by the end of the season, I'm sure in the season finale, they'll go back to having an actual screwdriver. So the next story that we have, this week on Monday night, Supergirl premiered, and it premiered following The Big Bang Theory. They moved to The Big Bang Theory, which is one of the most reliable TV shows on the air in terms of getting people to watch it live. And so they put Supergirl right after that, or I guess they put that right before Supergirl, so that really the audience of The Big Bang Theory is the exact audience they are looking for with Supergirl. And Supergirl is an interesting show. We've talked about it before, but this is a show that my wife, who is not a comic book nerd, has said that she will sit down and watch with me. And in one terms, I'm excited because finally it's one of these fandoms that I absolutely love, and my wife is willing to take part in it. At the other time, now I'm going to have to find a way to sit down and wait to watch it so that we can watch it together. And with the success that this pilot has had, it has silenced a lot of those sexist, really horrible ideas that have been out there that female superheroes cannot be successful in media. We talked about it a few months back with the Sony leak, the president of Sony and the president of Marvel comic books, they had an email conversation talking about how poorly female superhero movies did in the box office, pointing to the original Supergirl and Elektra and all other sorts of horrible movies. So not only is it a female superhero, it is also a good female superhero show. Our next story moves over into the world of video gaming a little bit, and I thought this was just a good thing to touch on because I know there are a lot of video gamers out there. But League of Legends this past week had a world championship. Now, if you don't know what League of Legends is, it's a multiplayer online battle arena. This whole genre kind of sprung up around custom maps in Warcraft and Starcraft, but really Warcraft, where you have heroes and you're going to go base. Usually what there is there's a tower or a central base item in each team's base on one of these maps that needs to be destroyed, and you're fighting each other. It's just a locked in battle arena. You control one hero. And so this week they had their world championship, and there have been about 4 weeks in this competition across Europe. And the SK Telecom T1 won the world championship again. This is their second time doing it. They are the first ones to claim a dual title. And this team is pretty young. Esports in general is pretty young, but this team was only founded in 2013, and they were pretty much rookies. And if you're like, well, what's the big deal? This esports venue, they had more people there than any traditional sporting event, with the exception of the World Cup and the Super Bowl. So there were quite a few people there watching these people play this video game, not to include all the people who were streaming on Twitch. And also, I know a couple people who, here in Salt Lake, so the Century 16 Theater did a live stream on one of their big movie screens, and Coca-Cola was the sponsor, and they brought a lot of swag, and it was like $20 a ticket. And I know a couple people who went into that. Not just did they go into it, it started at 4:30 in the morning. You had to be there at 4:30 in the morning to be watching this. So I guess you had to be there a little bit earlier. And there were a couple games played, and then the championship. And I am just, this game is taking off. It's something that I am really interested in learning to play. I'm looking at this one or Heroes of the Storm that just came out by Blizzard. If anybody who's listening has any recommendations for me, feel free to shoot them to me on Twitter at OvergrownAsian, or you can do at FandomCast. I'll get both of those. Or you can send me an email at feedback@fandompodcast.com. Yeah, I'd love to know how many of you guys are out there playing League of Legends or Heroes of the Storm or maybe Dota. I would love to know more about that. So more superhero movie news. It seems like there's a new superhero movie coming out all the time. But Thor Ragnarok has had some news that, and you've probably seen the headlines about how the Hulk is rumored to be in there. And Thor Ragnarok, according to Mark Ruffalo, is going to be a buddy picture. Now, this is something that I'm really intrigued in, because Marvel has done a really good job at not defining their superheroes in a certain genre. I mean, if you think about the Captain America movies, those are two completely different genres. Iron Man has kind of evolved and merged over time. So it'll be really interesting. And Ruffalo says, well, of course they're going to fight. Everybody wants Hulk and Thor to fight. I'm just imagining like a 1980s buddy cop film with the Hulk and Thor. And I'm excited to see what they do. Because if anybody can pull this off, it's going to be Marvel. So somehow Hulk has to get to Asgard, and we'll see how that happens. But we'll see if this actually comes about, because these details have not been confirmed by Marvel, but Mark Ruffalo has gone out there talking about it. If you kind of wonder what a Thor buddy cop film would be, there's a comic book series that came out with the Secret Wars called Thors, which is basically the Thors are the police force of this multiverse, and it's a police procedural / buddy cop. So if you are interested in that at all, there should be a trade coming out fairly soon. And if you really are anxious, you can head over to your local comic book store and pick up the individual issues. And our last story of the night is a story about a movie. Now, if you have thought that they have remade everything from our childhood, you would be wrong. Because, well, I guess this movie isn't a remake, but more of a more of an origin of story. So just think about it. We're talking about making a film out of the origins of a board game. Jordan likes to give me crap because I told him one point in time that Battleship was actually a surprisingly good movie. And he took that to mean that I thought it was Oscar worthy, which it's not, but it was good in the terms of it was fun to go to and watch and look for those little winks and nods. But this next movie, this next board game that's getting the movie treatment is Monopoly. So the film is going to be based off of a book called The Monopolist's Obsession, Fury, and the Scandal Behind the World's Favorite Board Game. So The Monopolists is a story about how Monopoly came into existence and the reinvention of its history by Parker Brothers and a lot of other media outlets, because little known fact is the concept of the game actually was created by a woman back 30 years before Parker Brothers sold their version of Monopoly, and her version was called Landlords. But we'll see. All right, so those are the top news stories from this week. But we all know why you're actually here. It's to find out who won the tickets to the Chris Hardwick Fun Comfortable Show, which is coming to Kingsbury Hall in Salt Lake City on November 6th. Hey, we're really excited about this. We've been advertising this all month long, and Chris Hardwick is one of my favorite stand-up comedians right now. So when they reached out to us and said that they could give us some tickets, I jumped right on that because I knew that I would love to be able to give some away. And rather than just having one pair, like I've been saying, we've actually arranged it so that we can have two pairs to give away. So we are going to have two winners on this giveaway. So our first winner is, drumroll please, Nick English, who in response to the question, why should you get the tickets? It said, because I'm awesome. You know I'm awesome, and the world needs more awesomeness in it. I have a feeling that awesome is a word that is used in Nick's vocabulary very often. Okay, Nick, we'll be contacting you on how to get your tickets to the show. All right, and then our second winner is Charles Prowse. And in response to the question why he should get the tickets, he said, because I'm awesome. I'm starting to see a pattern here. And I really want to see Chris Hardwick live. Well, that makes a lot of sense. And he ends it off in true geek fashion, may the force be with you. So, congratulations, Charles and Nick. We'll be getting in touch with you to tell you how to get your tickets and where to pick them up and all that fun stuff. And if you didn't win, still head over to facebook.com/funcomfortable. Follow the big link that says get tickets, because we would love to meet all of you there that we can. If anybody that's listening going to the show, feel free to contact me at Overgrown Asian on Twitter, feedback@fandompodcast.com. Let me know that you'll be there, and let's try to meet up so we can say hi or something like that. All right, guys. Next week, we will be doing our Positive Power of Fandom episode. So if you guys want to share with us how fandoms have positively influenced your life or what fandom means to you, feel free to jump over to our website and leave us a comment, send us an email. All the social media, I've mentioned all of them a couple times, so we're excited about this, and we're excited about being able to share some of that with you. Make sure that you subscribe to our podcast. All the links are over there on our website, fandompodcast.com. The one that's not up there yet, which I'm going to get up there soon, is the Google Play Music link, and we've been accepted, and it says published, so we're just waiting on getting that link put together for you. So thank you for listening to the Fandom Podcast. Be sure to contact us on social media or email, subscribe, go to our website, fandompodcast.com. And thanks for listening.